Go ahead and call this meeting to order. If you will all stand and join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. That brings us to item number three, which is for discussion and possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the agenda for May 18th, 2021. Is there any public comment regarding today's agenda? Vanessa, would you mind letting me know if there's any public comment on Zoom, please?
There's one staff comment.
There is apparently a staff comment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We'd like to remove number 12 from the agenda. This deals with the lease of Station 75 from State Health. We're just still working on the contract.
Noted. Thank you. Not seeing any other public comments. My fellow commissioners have any comments regarding today's agenda?
Jay, Lance here.
Yes.
I'll be recusing on item number 10 and item number 14.
Item number 10 and item number 14, you said, Lance?
And 14, yes.
All right. And since we're going to take care of that, I will be recusing from item number 30. So with that said, Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you entertain a motion, please?
Yeah, I move that we approve today's agenda.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
All right. There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Moving right along to item number four. This is for discussion and possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the minutes for the April 6, 2021 meeting. Is there any public comment regarding the approval of the minutes? My fellow commissioners, have any comments regarding the minutes?
My only comment is that they were less unintelligible, so we must be mumbling less.
Fantastic. With that said, Vice Chairman, do you entertain a motion, please?
Absolutely. I move that we approve the minutes for the April 6th meeting as listed in the agenda packet.
I'll second that motion.
All right. There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Moving right along to item number five is today's consent agenda for possible action. Is there any public comment regarding today's consent agenda? I'll give it just a second here. Not hearing any public comment. My fellow commissioners, have any comments regarding today's consent agenda?
No comment.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you entertain a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve the consent agenda as listed in our agenda packet.
I'll second.
All right. There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Moving right along to item number six. This is public comment. This is regarding items not already on the agenda. I'll remind folks that public comment is 3 minutes. Is there any public comment today? For those out in Zoom land, star 6 to unmute yourself, or you can use the raise your hand feature. Not seeing any public comment, we will move right along. Bringing us item number 7, this is for discussion and possible action. Update, discussion, and provide direction to county staff and lobbyists regarding upcoming bills and legislation affecting Story County, including but not limited to SB 98, proposing Story County's membership into the Carson Water Subconservancy District, AB 90, two-year interim study regarding regional impacts, and SCR 11, formerly BDR 1109 and 1148, one-year interim study on innovation zone draft legislation, and other properly related matters. What we will do is we will break those down and make motions on the separate items as they come up. So, County Manager Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And if, for the convenience of the board, I could cover SCR 11, which is the Innovation Zones item first, if Commissioner Gilman would like to continue recusing.
Yes, I will recuse on that item. So let's separate the discussion.
Noted.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, an update on SCR 11, which is formerly BDR 1148, which is the Innovation Zone legislation that's being proposed. So on the 6th of May, a joint special committee was formed that are going to study housing, economy, economic development, water, natural resources, counties and governments, and other matters that pertaining to innovation zones, at least thus far. The committee is to be made of, it's in committee at this point to be determined what will happen with this and what that committee will look like. And a study committee would be chosen by the Senate and the Assembly. There would be two Democrats and one Republican from the Senate, and two Democrats and one Republican from the Assembly, chosen to form a committee to study this matter. There would be stakeholders involved under SCR 11, potentially, and those stakeholders will be interfacing with this committee monthly. And at that point, there would be local government would be involved, unions, economic development authorities like EDON and NNDA, tribe, environmentalists, water interest, technology interest, and economic interests, and there's others as well. Every month between now and December 31st so far, as it's looking, this would be then discussed and these things would be looked into, and then the legislative staff then would be studying and coming up with their recommendations to occur around December 31st of this year. Those recommendations could be to have a special session to approve Innovation Zone bill as it would be seen at that time, or they could put the Innovation Zones bill or legislation on the 2023 legislative session, or they could just decide not to proceed and let the whole matter die. At that point, so right now what has happened is there was a committee hearing on the 11th of May to decide what would happen here. Myself, Commissioner Mitchell, our lobbyist Mary Walker, our lobbyist Will Adler, and Dagny from the Nevada Association of Counties all testified on the proposal so far to proceed. The testimony we discussed, kind of what this board has given direction on already, that if they want to, you know, build their project, they want to do innovative technologies out at Tri-Center and those sorts of matters. The 30-day building permit and the 5-day grading permit will be offered to them. Their application for a planned unit development out at Painted Rock was discussed and brought forward, that all they need to do is apply. But nevertheless, if they were to move forward on this committee, that we would like to have a seat at the table and be involved in that study as the most affected county, as well as a local government generally across the state. And that does appear to be the direction so far. We were expecting that bill then be heard again and kind of get moving along, and so far there hasn't been any action since that committee. So at this point, we're kind of waiting and seeing what happens.
All right. Thank you for that, Austin. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do we want to give any more direction, or do we want to just leave things as is right now?
I'm comfortable with where we are, and we can certainly take public comment on this and see if there's any new info that surfaces. You know, because of the proposal of how the committee would be made up, with majority-minority leadership on both sides selecting people, that gives us some direct representation as Senator Settlemyer is our state senator and presumably would have one of those picks. Yeah. And that helps me feel more comfortable that we'll have a fair representation and seat at the table. And so I don't feel a burning need to amend our guidance on this.
Sounds good. I do just want to note, thank you for your efforts, for Austin's efforts, our lobbyist efforts down there. I know you guys spent a day or two down there, full day, and it's obviously had a good impact. I know it's not easy hanging out down there all day trying to catch up with folks, but your efforts did not go unnoticed. With that said, is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any public comment, let us move right along.
Okay, the next one, Mr. Chairman, is AB 90. Since the last time we met, there hasn't been a lot of movement in that right now. We're hearing down the legislature, you know, left, right, and in the middle. But at this point, there's really nothing more to report. We expect something will be known by this week. There's 2 weeks left of the legislation, of the legislature, sir. And it's hustle bustle down there. They're working 23 and 24 hours a day down there. So something is supposed to happen. We have heard that there may not be a special session occurring after this session as far as an immediate one to deal with matters. The legislature's been able to wrap up the budget and whatever, but even that is still not positive at this point.
Thank you for that. Is there any public comment regarding this item? My fellow commissioners have any comments regarding this item?
No, I don't have any comment. We'll just keep watching it.
Lance, anything?
No comment. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for that. I don't have any comments either.
Moving on to the next one.
Please.
All right. SB 98, Carson Water Subconservancy District joining. That's still sailing on its way to approval, but we hope there's wind behind the sails. There's just so much activity down there. The legislature is not getting to bills at a normal rate, but we're not worried about this one. If you want, I'll go to the next one, unless you have any comments about 98.
Any comments, commissioners? Any public comment? Nope.
No comment.
Go ahead, Austin.
AB 424, we're really concerned about this. D.A. Langer is not able to make today's meeting, neither is Justice of the Peace Judge Harrington. They are both dealing with court matters. And so I'm kind of speaking a little bit as a knowledge of what's going on, but not quite on their behalf. But what we have here is a bill that would require bail hearings to be heard over the weekend, essentially. As you get arrested on Friday, you cannot go more than 48 hours until your bail hearing to be let loose. And this would mean that Story County would have a 7-day-a-week court. This will be a very substantial impact to the county with staffing. We'll have to hire people. And there's other matters dealing with, equipment and licensing and all of those things as well. Mary Walker, the Judges Association, NACO, and the District Attorneys Associations have been working on this. I am not speaking on behalf of these folks, but I do know where Mary Walker's been. I do know where NACO has been trying to fight this on behalf of the smaller counties. There is, alleged that people are sitting in jail for long periods of time that our Justice of the Peace has said is not occurring in our jail, that we move things along very quickly, but nevertheless, we might be faced with this. So far that the rural counties with NACO and Mary Walker have been able to dilute some things in the bill to make it a little bit better. It was 24 hours. They've got it to 42 hours. We were hoping for 72 hours. We were hoping for 42 hours and no weekends. That is not apparently getting traction at all. And this actual court hearing has been lessened to potential video conferences, emails, and even possibly being bailed out on own recognizance as the authority of the sheriff. So these are the things being looked at so far. That might help lessen the law. Regional courts has also been discussed, as well as maybe different regions will have courts and maybe share or rotate these weekends. That might be an option as well. So at this point, though, we did not think it would, but it is moving forward, and it does look like this bill may pass as a weekend type of court. We are also asking, by the way, if we could have this thing become effective in 2022, because we have not budgeted for the potential staffing increase no small county has. I do know the sheriff is on with us today. He may have a couple comments he wants to bring with us, as well as others.
Is there any staff out there that would like to comment on this?
Chairman, Sheriff Antonoro here. I'm just watching the bill, same as anybody. I had a brief conversation with the district attorney this morning regarding that. So it's more just a matter of waiting to see how they actually put it together. Existing NRS gives the authority for the sheriff to OR people already. I just don't know how that's going to fit in or play out with the changes that they're making on this particular bill.
Thank you, Sheriff. Are there any other staff members that have comments on this? Is there any public comment regarding this item? And do my fellow commissioners have any comments on this item?
No comments.
I mean, if I remember correctly, we took a position opposing this bill.
Correct. We did.
Time. So I'm comfortable letting that stand.
As am I.
Okay.
All right.
I'll move to the next one.
Move right along.
The next one, and I'll start kind of going faster through the rest, but I do want to bring to your attention SB 385. It's not a big bill for Story County, but it is for other rural counties, and we have been joining the conversation in this from the beginning of the legislature, and this is the China Springs bill, or Aurora Pines for youth. So China Springs, where they send the boys, and Aurora Pines, where they send the girls. This is kind of an intermediate disciplinary kind of a boot camp thing that you would send kids to try to like their last chance before they get into the justice system of the state, where they go to Elko, as we say. The governor's office has proposed to cut China Springs by $1.2 million. This would essentially take kids at an opportunity for this intermediary system to go right into the juvie system of the state, which is a much more severe type of program. We've been against this. It's not good for the program. It's not good for the kids. And it saves the county and the state money by not sending them to the more severe programs. This is, unfortunately, losing ground as well. But it looks like that the bill will move forward with a three-year spread on us for the costs. In other words, these costs that are going to be shifted over to the counties. And just about for $7,000 for Story County, we've only sent, I believe, one kid in the last 6 years to this, so we're a very low-level user. But some counties like Carson City and others, this is a big deal for them, but we've been joining in on that. I just want you to be aware of it.
Thank you.
You want me to go to the other ones, and then, or do you want to hit them one by one?
Yeah, why don't we just check. Is there any public comment regarding this item? My fellow commissioners have any comments?
If I remember correctly, County Manager Osborne, these facilities are a little bit unique in that they serve Washoe County as well. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm going to say I believe that's correct. Okay. With Washoe County.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Well, okay.
Go ahead, Austin.
The next one, just FYI, AB 249, construction hours. You remember that one? Can't work at nighttime in the morning. That one is still staying as it is. It would only apply to homeowners associations, so we're okay with that. If you want, I'll hit the other ones just one by one.
Sure.
Okay. AB 322. This one, I haven't been watching it real closely, but I keep an eye on it, and it's cannabis events. And we thought that this one wouldn't get anywhere, and apparently it has passed at least the Assembly Committee. I don't believe that we're going to be required to allow cannabis vendors at our events, but it would allow for it, and we've been against this bill from the beginning. The next one is SB 94, trespass on ways. Nothing has happened on this since the last time we talked. Essentially, it would declare if somebody puts a gate over a public road that goes through their private property, it would be allowable with permission and not to be a nuisance. It is staying the same so far. SB 107, wrongful termination. We haven't heard anything about this either. This is where a terminated employee would have up to 7 years instead of 2 years to take adverse action against the county. Then there's SB 390. This one, just to let you know, and then I know Communications Director Becky Parsons is with us. This deals with the suicide hotline. This is moving forward where you can call the hotline and get assistance for suicide matters. And then that's the end of the bills, and I got one small one. Do you want to ask public comments on the bills, and then I'll talk about the last one?
Sure. Okay. Is there any public comment regarding any of the other bills that were just recently discussed? Do my fellow commissioners have any comment regarding the last few bills that were talked about?
No comments.
None.
All right. Go ahead, Austin.
Okay. I've been in communications with NV Energy, and as you're aware, the legislature spent most of the day yesterday on energy legislation, and the Green Link is a big one that NV Energy has been working with PUC and the state on. That would essentially create a redundant link between our power plant and Ely, and then down to Clark County, and then back up, and there's a spur that kind of covers this local area. They did move forward on that. Kind of some highlights of the whole thing is really it's to kind of facilitate regional renewable energy. They'll be able to bring in renewable energy from other states and throw it into the circuit. There's $100 million being dedicated to charging systems for cars along the, like, the 50 corridor and otherwise. And then there it creates redundancy in power. So there's some opposition to it, to environmental groups and, you know, the sort. But generally, this will kind of, it looks like, bolster Nevada's economic energy portfolio, the renewable portfolio, and create redundancy. Just want to let you know that.
Thank you very much for that, Austin. All right. A lot of stuff going on at the legislature. I will just reach out. Is that my answer? I'll reach out one more time. Is there any public comment regarding these items that we've discussed?
Mm-hmm.
One last time, my fellow commissioners, anything you want to talk about?
No, thank you.
Nope.
No, thank you.
All right. This brings us to item number 8. This is for discussion only. No action, no public comment. Staff reports. We're going to start out with the Sheriff's Office. Sheriff Antonoro, do you have anything for us today?
Nothing today, thank you.
All right. Fire Department, Chief Longcar. We actually have him in-house, so it's taking him a second.
Commissioners, Jeremy Longcar for the record. Just a couple of quick things. One is Story County was recognized by the State Fire Marshal's Office this last week for some of the contributions we put into their fire investigation program, which they're avidly building. They obtained a big grant to get a trailer, and I brought before you an MOU, which we moved it around. So this weekend it was kind of nice. It was down at the Fire Marshal's Office, got to watch it light up, and they did a big demonstration. They recognized us, and thanks for our support on the project. The other thing I want to bring to your attention is if you see my guys out wearing camo, it's because it's Military Appreciation Month. So they got in their new shirt, so all the guys have got a little change up in the uniform for the remainder of the month, but that is to recognize our men and women of the armed services and those active and retired. The last thing I want to bring up is our fuels work down 6 Mile with NV Energy. I'll be bringing more information in future meetings to you guys, but I've got some good news on that. We've been very busy, working very hard with just our seasonal staff. We still haven't gotten those people on board yet to fill the full-time positions. And NV Energy has reached out to us and told us that they would gladly double the amount of money that they're giving us for personnel.
Wow.
So that was good news. It's good to see that our crews are doing such good work. They're being recognized. So we'll move forward on that, and hopefully I'll have something for you for too long. That's all I have to report.
All right. My fellow commissioners, have any questions for Chief Longcar?
No, thank you.
Oh, thank you.
All right. Thanks for that, Chief. Great news. Public Works, Jason Wurzbicki.
Good morning, Chairman, Commissioners. How are you guys today?
Doing well, thank you. How are you?
Good. I just have a quick report. The slurry and striping work has been completed out at the industrial park. The pavement patching has been completed on Cartwright, and slurry is still on target for this Thursday and Friday out there on Cartwright. So they will be running pilot cars. So just try to get everybody to be wary of the construction zone out there. That's about all I have right now.
Thank you, Jason. Do my fellow commissioners have any questions for Jason?
No.
Thank you for the report.
All right. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it. Looks good out on Cartwright.
Thank you.
Moving to projects. We have Mike Northern on today.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have nothing for you today.
All right. Moving on to dispatch, Becky Parsons. Thank you. Emergency management, Joe Curtis. Or Laura Mather.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Laura will present for us today.
Thank you, Joe.
Good morning, for the record. Laura Mather, Community Relations Coordinator. All things that are COVID. As of yesterday, for Story County, we have no new cases, zero recoveries, and zero deaths. We have 8 active cases, 99 recoveries, and 3 deaths still, for a total of 110 total COVID cases. For the Quad Counties, 294 active, 12,193 recoveries, 226 deaths, for a total of 12,713 throughout the pandemic. For COVID-19 testing, the last day we will be doing in-county community-based testing is on Wednesday, May 26, from 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. A couple of weeks ago, we had our first testing for May, and we had a whopping 1 person show up for that. So it's good that we're running down on these. For vaccinations, we have not been notified yet of our June vaccination test or vaccination sites and dates. But I just want to remind everybody that gethealthycarsoncity.org or the state hotline, 1-800-401-0946. You can reach out to either one of those for anything COVID. Testing dates and locations, vaccination dates and locations. And then I also just want to remind the community, when we see the percentage of Story County residents that have been vaccinated, that's frequently incorrect. It's because of 2 things. One, our vaccinations come into Carson City because we're part of Carson City Health and Human Services. So that's where those allotments are tracked or designated to. And then also, as we all know, our zip codes are attached to the surrounding counties. So I just wanted to remind everybody of that. And then moving on to community relations, I finally got to get out and about in the community and have some fun and meet some people. On May 6th, Honey Tappuli, Alexia Sober from the Canvas Cafe, and Kyle Blanchard from the Way It Was Museum. We ran around businesses in Virginia City and Gold Hill and delivered 256 half-gallon jugs of bleach, 76 containers of sanitizing wipes, 1,890 sponges, 32 gallons of hand sanitizer, and 3,950 masks to the community.
Wow.
And I also want to thank Alexia, too. She helped us arrange this. She helped us reach out to all the businesses and arrange the delivery. So it was
fantastic.
Fun. Yeah. We also have received a new donation of sanitizing liquid and hand sanitizer and that kind of stuff. And we also have some, I'll just say, some winter supplies as well. So we will again be reaching out to the community, to the businesses in the community, and seeing if we can supply them with any of these items. And that is the end of my report.
That reminds me, where is the medical outfit for today?
Oh, I'm so going down and getting one. I'm running down to the Slammer on the break and getting you one.
Thank you. I did want to, before I reach out to my fellow commissioners, if they have any questions, do you know what the percentage is of Story County residents that have been vaccinated?
I haven't. For the actual percent, I need to reach out to Carson City Health and Human Services, and I will do that. It was brought to my attention this morning that the numbers are still inaccurate.
Mm-hmm.
So it's on my to-do list to reach out, because they have an accurate count of Story County citizens.
Perfect.
So I will definitely do that.
Thank you. Do my fellow commissioners have any questions for Laura?
I have no questions. Thank you.
No?
No questions.
Thank you for that report.
Thank you.
Appreciated. Moving right along to the VCTC, Mr. Denny Dodson.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, commissioners. Denny Dodson for the record. A couple things. Obviously, with things opening up a little bit, we are at full speed here in the visitor center. everything with marketing to welcoming our visitors to obviously special events. Speaking of those, next three weekends are back to back to back. Chili on the Comstock is this weekend. We have Memorial Day weekend. We'll do the Memorial Day cruise, and that should be generally the start of the B&T Railway here locally. Tom Gray's operation will be kicking off that weekend. And then the following will be Street Vibration Spring Run, which we're expecting a little bit bigger crowd than normal. With that also, this next Thursday, in 2 days, it's Everyone's a Local at Night. So I encourage everybody here on the call and those listening and you commissioners to make out and enjoy some of the specials that a lot of our local merchants are offering, as well as staying open until 8 o'clock tonight. A shout out to Piper's Opera House, Whitney Brunson and her team. They got done with a couple week event, a couple weekends for Piper's Players, a murder mystery. And it may not seem like a lot, but it's exactly what Piper's is intended to do. And that's to offer activities or, entertainment in the evening. Those directly correlate to lodging properties and restaurants and shopping here on the Comstock. They had over 600 people over the last couple weekends attend the murder mystery. And again, they did an outstanding job. The reviews have been wonderful. Another shout out, commissioners, to our what I'll call the Southside merchants here in Virginia City. Call it the entrepreneurship at its finest. In a time where we've been struggling, you see a lot of folks that are redecorating the front of their buildings. They're putting up planters and flowers and benches. And, we've been taking some of the old wood barrels that we took off the street last year, replaced and retrofitting those for the merchants and then they've been buying some as well. We don't have a whole lot, but for flower pots. And I encourage you to take a look, stop in and tell them thank you, because it really does look nice. We love the curb appeal. And then finally, just one more thing is I sent out a note. I think most people saw it. It's time to party a little bit. And we want to, the Virginia State Tourism Commission budgeted a welcome back event last year. It didn't happen as soon as we would have liked it to, but we do have a scheduled for June 11th from 4 to 7. It's our way of saying thank you to Story County residents, county employees, and our merchants. So it's open and free to all. So with that, I'll take any questions or end my time. Thank you, commissioners.
Thanks, Denny. I did take your advice and drive down there this morning on the way in, and it does look beautiful at the south end of town. They have done a nice job. With that, do my fellow commissioners have any questions for Denny?
No, thank you.
No, thank you.
All right. Thanks again, Denny. See you on the 11th, if not sooner.
Yep.
Water and sewer. I don't see Mike Nevin out there today. So we shall move along. Comptroller's office. You want to talk now or talk later?
Nothing at this time.
All right. Thanks, Jennifer. The assessor's office. Do we have Jen out there? I don't think so. Planning department, Kathy or Lindy?
Hi, good morning. So I just had a quick update. I attended a meeting this last Tuesday from NDOT. They're doing a study for the US 50 corridor, and they are on a portion of it that goes between Pine Nut Road and Ney Road. They're looking at trying to modify that section of roadway to make it safer, and they're looking at some different options. It does impact Story County in that the intersections of La Fonda, Six Mile Canyon, Riverboat, and Pine Nut Road might have some changes to it in the future. So the study itself is open. The whole presentation and information, they do have a website that has that information on it, and they're asking for public comment until June 1st. So the county itself has responded and has some questions and some different things. I'm told that the residents of Mark Twain also received a postcard notifying them of this. So I just wanted to make everybody aware that June 1st is the deadline to comment on that, and then we'll see, take it from there once they receive all the comments. Other than that, I'll have some other items on the agenda later. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Kathy. My fellow commissioners, have any questions for Kathy?
No, thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Recorder's office, Marnie Martinez.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Nothing to report today.
All right. Thank you.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay.
Our IT department, James Dean, you have any news for us?
Good morning, Commissioners. James Dean, Story County IT Director. Just a couple of quick items. We've got a new staff member starting June 1st, and the soil analysis and tower engineering footprint down at the sewer tower has started. And that's all I got.
Thank you, James. My fellow commissioners, have any questions for James?
No, good to go.
All right. Thanks, James. Human Resources, Toby.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Human Resources has nothing today.
All right. That is a good day. Community Development, Martin Azevedo.
Good morning, commissioners. Martin Azevedo, Story County Community Development Director and Fire Marshal. Good morning to all of you. I just have a few things. So we've had a new admin person start this week. She has a good background, good education. So we're excited to have her, and she'll be working on permitting. So we are definitely excited to have her here at the office. The other thing I just wanted to cover real quick, I've been getting some questions and comments around the county regarding residential building. People have noticed that, you know, there's seems to be more and more houses going up within the county. So I did a comparison from 2019, 2020, and current. So the total residential permits that we had pulled in 2019, keep this in mind, this is, tentative improvements, this is remodeling, that type of thing, was in 2019, 137 permits were issued. In 2020, 159 permits were issued. And so far this year, we've had 42 permits issued. So I just want to kind of give you that rundown in case any of you have questions regarding residential building within the county. And that's all I have.
Thank you for that, Martin. Interesting statistics. I guess people were busy at home during COVID. So my fellow commissioners have any comments or questions for Martin?
I'm just curious if we have some sort of notion about how many new residential housing starts.
Can you repeat that, sir?
I was just wondering if we had any sort of notion as far as if there's an uptick or what the trend is on new residential development.
I can look into that. Usually, I would have to pull the permits for new housing. As you can see within the Virginia City area, we've had an uptick just in town of residential homes going up. And I know there has also been several in the Highlands area, but I can definitely get that information for you.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Thanks for that, Martin. Appreciate it. Moving along to Community Chest. I see Eric out there.
Yes, good morning. Oops, I'm going to take off my video. Good morning, commissioners, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, I have a quick, so I just sent a newsletter a couple of weeks ago, and it really seemed to strike a chord, so I thought I would just sort of highlight the salient themes that I wrote about, trying to capture sort of the zeitgeist of the moment, what people are feeling. And the term that came up, unbeknownst to me, this is a term in mental health, and I've been in mental health my whole professional career of however many years. Never heard it before. It's called languishing. So this idea that folks coming through COVID are at a point where they're not depressed, they're not anxious, but the colors don't seem quite as bright, sounds don't seem quite as, the music not quite as snappy, and the food doesn't taste quite so good. And I imagine if somebody asked somebody how they were feeling, the answer would be, meh. I'm not really feeling it. But that the name of that the term for that state of being is apparently languishing. And so I also wrote about what the opposite of languishing, this is according to the mental health experts, is apparently flourishing. And flourishing, they listed several different possibilities, from volunteering to learning something new, to finding appreciation, finding ways to appreciate even the small things in life. Really, I think if you boil all those down to their essence, it's rediscovering and nurturing and finding meaning in one's life, however that's defined. So if people would like the full copy of that newsletter, I'm happy to point it out. But if folks are also looking for resources to help them flourish, Community Chest has quite a few. I talk about them frequently just to make sure that people are aware of them. We have our summer youth programs coming up for youth of all ages, and that's always a great time because it's like a different summer camp every week. So if folks are looking to get their kids into something really engaging this summer, that's a great place to look. Our library is opening back up, so that's a great place to come for books and resources, and our librarian will help you with that. Also, our mental health and our primary health care providers are open for you, too. So, and also food. If people need food, we have our food pantry open. So I don't think people need to languish, in isolation. There are resources out there, and that's all I have for today.
Thank you for that, Eric. If I could ask you, if you don't mind sending the commissioners out that newsletter, I know you may have already done
sure.
it, but if you wouldn't mind resending it, we can get it out to the community.
Yes, I can do that. Thank you. That's a great idea.
Do my fellow commissioners have any questions for Eric?
No, thank you.
None, thank you.
All right. Moving right along to the senior center. Stacy with us today? All right, thank you for that. We are blessed, and we have Erica Perry from St. Mary's here with us today. Do you have any good news for us, Erica?
Good morning, Chairman Carmona.
Good morning.
I don't have any substantial contributions today to announce. But we will have more of a report at the next meeting.
Okay, fair enough. Well, the sun is out today, so that's a good thing. Nora from the Fourth Ward School? She's here too.
Hello, everyone. Thank you. Thank you so much. Very little to report that we are open. We've been having visitors. They've been commenting how happy they are to see the museum and how interesting it is. And our construction with the CCCHP is still going on. And that's it, pretty much.
All right. Thank you. Well, thank you for that. My fellow commissioners, have any questions about the Fourth Ward for Nora?
No, thank you.
All right. Moving along to the district attorney's office. Assistant DA Loomis, do you have any legal news for us today?
Just a brief update on the Mary Lou Wilson case versus Story County and Stericycle. The Nevada Supreme Court dismissed Ms. Wilson's petition for extraordinary writ relief. That's the good news. There still remains her appeal, which is in the process of being handled. And that's all I have.
All right. Thank you for that. All right, fellow commissioners, have any questions regarding that from Keith?
Keith? Thank you.
All right. County Manager Osborne, is there anything else you forgot to tell us about?
Not much. I just let you know I'm planning another town hall in the next couple of weeks down in Mark Twain. That would be the next rotation, so trying to find a day that works for everyone, probably a Thursday evening or a Saturday morning. It seems to be those are the two most available for everyone.
Great. Thank you. Look forward to those dates. Last but not least, our trusty county clerk, Vanessa Stevens. Do you have anything? All right. Thank you for staff and your updates. That will bring us on to item number 9, which is board comments. I'm going to go to Commissioner Gilman first. Do you have any comments today, Commissioner Gilman?
Nothing to offer. Thank you.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell?
Nothing. It's not on the agenda. Thank you.
All right. I do have a little bit. We had a roads meeting out in the Virginia City Highlands on Saturday. I'm not the best at math, but I swear there was close to 100 people there. A fantastic turnout. We had Sheriff Antonoro, myself, Commissioner Mitchell was there. County Manager Osborne did a little talking. D.A. Langer was there to give a little bit of non-legal advice. You know, we've had an influx of out-of-town off-road users, been abusing the area a little bit, and so we just wanted to give the residents some clarification, how to protect their property, properly mark their property. Considering it was a possibly volatile subject, everybody was extremely, I don't want to say well-behaved, but the meeting was, in my opinion, it was fantastic. Information was doled out. The response from the residents was just that. They were very happy. Staff was out there to talk to them and explain certain things. And, you know, I think it was, again, a very productive meeting. So outside of that, I don't have anything else. So that'll bring us to item number 10, which is for discussion and possible action. This is consideration and possible approval of the TRI Public-Private Partnership Audit 2017, 2018, and 2019. Comptroller McCain.
Good morning. Jennifer McCain, Story County Comptroller for the record. We also have Connie Christensen on Zoom, so she can answer any questions if you have them. You have before you the Tri-Private-Public Partnership Audit for the years that you mentioned, ending June 30th, 2017, 18, and 19. The ending result of this audit is that Story County's liability to the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center for those 3 years, ending 6/30/2019, is $4,652,652, which is cumulative of all 3 years' activity. The total reimbursement over these 3 years was $1,421,207, which has proven to be far lower than the actual. So for this reason, in the coming fiscal years, we will be increasing contributions from various funds into the Tri-Payback Fund. And as I said, Connie Christensen is on Zoom if you have any specific questions on the audit.
All right. I'd like to remind everybody that Commissioner Gilman has recused himself from this. So, Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have any questions for Comptroller McCain or Connie?
My only question with it had to do with if it was difficult to allocate sales tax that's generated out in TRI. I seem to remember having some difficulty getting accurate numbers there. Was that a challenge?
I think that's
actually.
Go ahead.
This is Connie Christensen for the record. Unless you want to speak to it, Jennifer.
Go right ahead, Connie. You're the authority.
Okay. As part of there was a stipulation agreement that was entered into between TRI and the county in June of 2020 that was retroactive to the 2017 fiscal year. And in that agreement, they specified a percentage method rather than the actual. So because the county went from guaranteed status to actual sales tax during that period. So the portion that is allocated to TRI is based upon 80% of the increase over a base amount each year.
Very good. Thank you.
It was a formula rather than a specific identification.
Thank you. There was one other question I had. I thought I saw a note in there that there was kind of an unusual or unique accounting practice, and I don't need to get into details on that. I'm just curious if it's something structural that makes it different. Did I misunderstand that?
Or do you know what specific note you were looking at?
No, I think it was referenced up near the top of it, and then referenced into a note. I don't remember which note it was. It says basis of accounting. Note one, I guess. I draw attention to note one of the schedules, which describes the basis of accounting. scheduled prepared by Story County, and I believe.
Oh, in the report, in the auditor's report.
Mm-hmm.
It's on page two.
I think it is page two, and it just notes that. That it's a, which is a basis of the county other than generally accepted, and so I'm just curious if that has any sort of impact or if it's just a quirk, so to speak.
Oh, that's actually just specific to this statement, because normally financial statements are prepared in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles, and you have a balance sheet and an income statement and statement of cash flows, et cetera. Whereas because we're only reporting on the revenue, the net revenues related to the project, it's not a complete set of financial statements.
Got it. Thank you.
And some of those amounts are determined based upon the agreement and the stipulations rather than actual, you know, rather than specific accounting policies.
Very good. Thank you. That clarifies.
Sure.
It for me. Thank
of
you.
Course.
All right. Any more questions, Vice Chairman Mitchell?
No. Thank you.
I have no questions. With that, is there any public comment regarding this item? I'll remind folks out there they can use star 6 to unmute themselves or the raise your hand feature. Not seeing any public comment, Vice Chairman, do you entertain a motion?
For the record, this is Commissioner Mitchell. I move to approve the TRI Public-Private Partnership audit for the fiscal years 2017, 2018, and 2019 as submitted.
I will second that motion. There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much to the both of you. We can welcome Commissioner Gilman back. Bringing us to item number 11, this is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the letter to the Governor's Office of Economic Development recognizing the Economic Development Authority of Western Nevada as one of the two regional economic development authorities representing Story County. County Manager Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, I talked to Mike Kaczmierski, the director, and I told him he could come on at 11 o'clock because we'd be going through housekeeping and all that. So he may still be about 5-10 minutes waiting. Can I ask that we move this item to after number 14, and then Mike should be able to chime on by then. We're a little bit early.
Sure. All right, so let's go to...
I think you got to take action on that. Is that correct?
Sorry. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do I need to take public comment on moving this, or can we just move it? Make a motion to move it.
I'll wave that to Keith.
Keith, do we need to take public comment on moving this?
No, you've already taken the public comment on the item. No, I guess you haven't. So let's take public comment.
All right, is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, did you make a motion to move this down past item number 14?
Yeah. For the record, Commissioner Mitchell, I move that what item number is this?
We move item number 11.
11, thank you. That we move item number 11 to be considered after item 14 on today's agenda.
Perfect.
Second.
All right, motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Aye.
All right, so that's going to bring us to item number 13. This is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the 2021-2022 Story County final budget, excluding the TRI payback fund for submission to the Department of Taxation. Comptroller McCain, you have the floor.
Hello again, Jennifer McCain, Story County Comptroller for the record. We had a few more housekeeping changes with the final budget. They include the Parks Department. We decided to spread out the
operating supplies back into each specific park. So you'll see those changes that actually resulted in a slightly higher, I think it was about $3,000 higher in that budget specifically. The Mark Twain Community Center report support in the community relations budget was reduced by $5,000 after back and forth and realizing that they requested more than they actually needed for the year. The commissioner's budget under professional services, we missed inputting professional services for public service announcements that go out specifically, for example, after this meeting. So we added that in. That was an additional $37,000. And in the comptroller's budget for professional services, we are looking at some transparency web hosting to put into our new website that we did budget for that, although we haven't specifically chosen anything. Those changes resulted in a total increase of expenses of $56,500. This changed our revenue to expense ratio to a bottom line of $124,101 in the black. The projected ending fund balance has been reduced approximately 19% to $14,872.135. This is mainly due to transfers from the general fund to other funds, which totaled $3,588,000. These transfers make it possible for the recipient funds to operate within their special revenue duties. As we discussed earlier, updates, major changes, increases in all the departments were in wages and benefits. We had a couple new positions for next year. One is a compliance officer within the public works departments that will be shared between roads and services. IT has a new tech, which he mentioned earlier, and we will be getting a new maintenance worker in buildings and grounds. All of these are to support the growing needs of our county. Also, another major change in the final budget was, thankfully, our health insurance increase was reduced from 20% to 5%. Other major changes that we saw between the tentative and the final are the streamlining of all the utility payments and buildings and grounds. We will see an equal decrease among all the other departments that pay for their own utilities. All department heads were encouraging to stay conservative with their spending through the next fiscal year. Although we're seeing a downturn in the pandemic, we don't want to hang our hat on that too early. That's all I have for the general fund. If you have any comments before I move on to the other special funds.
Before I go to public comment, I just was curious. So what do you mean as far as transparency on the website?
Transparency. I have been looking at some other county websites where they put their financials online, and it's not quite a real time, but real time.
Close enough.
How we're doing. So our residents, our businesses, anybody in the public would be able to click on the comptroller's page on our website and see that we budgeted $1 million in roads and how much have we spent as of January.
Great.
So great. I'm looking at a couple avenues on doing that. There's a few different web hosting services. Mm-hmm. It would also engage with our budget. It's wide open, but this came to my attention last week, and I decided I wanted to put something in the budget because I think that's really important. People see where their money's going.
I wholeheartedly agree. I think it's a fantastic idea.
Thank you.
Glad you're moving on that path. I'll wait, I guess, until you're completely done.
Okay.
The public comment, so sorry.
Okay.
Or are you done?
I have the special funds.
Sorry. Go ahead. Okay.
So when we move on to our special funds, I'm not going to go through each one. We've done that a few times throughout our budget reporting. I just want to point out some highlights on a few of them. The road fund continues to see a downward trend in the ending fund balance, even with the transfers of support from the general fund. We're hoping that the new diesel tax coming to Story County, we will see a change in this trend as the years go by. But unfortunately, this being a new revenue stream,
We're not really sure where we're going to see this. Also planning for infrastructure to take some of the major road projects in the Far West Road Plan. That will help the ending fund balance for roads and keep our road projects moving forward. In the next fiscal year, infrastructure will pay for $587,000 worth of road projects, while the road fund will complete $1,008,000 worth of road projects, and these are spread throughout the county. Our equipment acquisition fund is used to purchase vehicles and large equipment for the county's departments and fund use. In the coming year, the county will purchase 3 new sheriff four-wheel drive vehicles, a small plow truck, a public works director pickup, and we will replace a dump bed for a 1997 Kenworth truck. A total of this is $257,720. This fund's revenue comes from property tax and the sale of unused and unneeded equipment and vehicles throughout the county. The capital project fund operates with transfers from the general fund and a revenue stream from Tesla, in which they pay $93,000 annually for a specialized Quint truck that we had to purchase. In fiscal year 22, the transfer from the general fund will be $2 million. Projects will be totaling $1.8 million. This will leave a fund balance of $2.2 million for future projects. It's the goal of our office and the county manager's office to have a complete 5-year CIP during the upcoming fiscal year with a plan to fund all submitted projects. The infrastructure fund has a current fund balance of $2.6 million, which is slightly higher than the projected fund balance for the current fiscal year. Due to this trend, we have no problem with the plan that we submitted during previous commissioner meetings, Ordinance 20-317, that we have no problem completing that plan in the next few years. The VC Rail Project Fund revenue has now been corrected and the quarter cent sales tax is flowing into this fund. The next fiscal year plan is to pay off 2 unused bonds, which will drop the ending fund balance by approximately $1 million, while also reducing the county's debt by this same amount. This fund is used to fund rail projects within Story County, as well as the county subsidized the VNT Rail Commission up to $250,000 a year. Projects for the next fiscal year include a new roof on the VC Freight Depot and a deck extension on the Gold Hill Depot. These projects total approximately $250,000. And I just want to mention the VCTC and Pipers. As Denny mentioned earlier, that we are moving forward in the next fiscal year with positive momentum. We're planning to bring back traditional VC events and activities. However, I do need to note on a fiscal aspect that the revenues and the expenses will have to work together should the pandemic fluctuate up or down. And that's all I have for the Story County budget right now.
Thank you for that, Comptroller McCain. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any, do my fellow commissioners have any questions for the Comptroller?
Jay, I just wanted to join you in congratulating and thanking Jennifer for considering the posting of the information for our community. I know that there are so many that have been looking for that now for certainly the 8 years that I've been sitting in the chair. And as we've made progress each year, I'm delighted to see that Jennifer's looking at the financial picture. So thank you for that very much.
Yeah, indeed, Lance. I think COVID has definitely driven a lot more of our constituents onto the website. So it is even more important that we beef up our online presence. So, again, I agree. Commissioner Vice Chairman Mitchell, you have anything?
Just one question, Comptroller McCain. Capital projects, final came in, as far as expenses came in, probably $600 less than the tentative. I'm just curious if that's that we pushed things out, we took things off, things came in less than we expected, or some combination of all three.
It's kind of a combination of all three, and we're utilizing the infrastructure fund to take portions of those capital projects out of the capital projects fund.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
All right. With that said, Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you entertain a motion?
Yes. Let me just scroll up a few pages here. Sorry. I move to accept the 2021-2022 Story County final budget, excluding the TRI payback fund for submission to the Department of Taxation.
I'll second that motion.
All right. There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes aye. Unanimously. Thank you. Moving along to item number 14. This is for discussion and possible action.
Do we want to do it? Do we want to jump ahead?
You take a break, or you can jump ahead.
Are we taking a break for what?
Do you want to take a break so I can call Mike Smirsky, or do you want to move
on? Mike's on there.
Yes, I can.
Yeah.
Oh, there he is.
I mean, we're moving at 11 after 14, so we'll do 14.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Are we doing 14?
Unless somebody needs a break.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. We're committed at this point, so 14 it is.
Do it.
Unless we want to make a motion to move 11 before 14, but I think we're good.
Okay. Can we ask if Mike's on a tight time frame? Can he indulge us in getting 14 done?
I think Mike can hang tight.
All right.
Number 14, discussion for possible action, consideration and possible approval of the 2021-2022 Story County TRI payback final fund budget for submission to the Department of Taxation. Please note Commissioner Gilman is recusing himself on this item. Comptroller McCain, you have the floor.
Thank you. The TRI-Payback Fund is a special revenue fund within the Story County budget. This fund is intended to accumulate funds to reimburse the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center for road infrastructure. As we discussed in the previous agenda, the amounts due of our liability have increased greatly since we've gone off the guaranteed chair. This is good and bad news for the county. It means we're doing great, but we did not appropriately plan for this payback. Currently, in the current year, we have budgeted $2.5 million to pay back, which will leave us $2.4 million as an ending fund balance. We're transferring $1.1 million in the next fiscal year, which would enable us to pay off through June 30th, 2019, and have a little bit left over, seeing what the June 30th, 2020 audit gives us. We will have to, as I stated earlier, increase those contributions substantially to keep up with the increased payback amounts per year.
Noted. Thank you. Are you done with that?
I am done with that.
Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any public comment. Commissioner Mitchell, Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have any questions?
I guess it's kind of related to this and kind of related to the last one. You know, our ending fund balance in the general fund, I think it's projected to be around 14, something like that. I saw that previous years we were around 11. We popped up to about 18. Do we anticipate, I mean, obviously we don't know what 2020 holds yet for us, but do we anticipate that that'll continue on down, or do we think that it's stable and are we comfortable in that range?
The general fund?
The general fund, yeah.
I think that it's stable. If I were to venture to guess, the $14 million ending fund balance, 6/30/2022, is a low estimate.
Okay.
Our budgets and our projections range on 2 years of estimates and 1 year of an actual audit. So I can give you more information when our audit's completed for this year. I expect that we'll see a little increase in that, which will project the increase future to be increased. If that makes any sense?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And so then kind of related to the payback fund, the increases that are forecasted here, again, we don't know necessarily going forward, but based on what we do know, will those have to continue to increase as far as the transfers into this, or do we think that that's fairly stable as far as the subsidy, if you will?
Are you asking me about the amount of our liability or our fund balance?
The transfers in that are coming from the general fund into this fund.
The transfers that are coming in will most likely have to increase as our tax revenue increases out in TRI and our activity out there increases.
This was the first year that I was involved in this audit, and that Connie did the audit for that three-year period. Before that, it was fairly set amount because we were on a guaranteed share for our sales tax, so that fluctuation wasn't as great. 2020 also might not be a fair year to use because of COVID. Things aren't quite as a normal year would be, but my projection is that our payments are never going to really go down to them, which is a good thing for us. It means that the county's growing and our revenue is going up.
Very good. So,
and the ending fund balance in the tri-payback fund is a little more static than it is in the general fund. We control how much money's going in there and how much money's coming out. It doesn't really have anything to do with the economy. Other than that tells us what our payments are, but we have to set those payments before that audit's done.
Got it. So this mechanism of transferring from general into payback is pretty much par for the course. That's what we're going to have to do going forward. In other words, we're not set up for the payback to automatically fund into here.
And that's revenues. Actually something that I'm looking at with the clerk's office is to, rather than have these transfers in the coming years, we would take that money off the top as those revenues come in and have that formula built in. When sales tax, for example, comes into the county, the clerk's office puts that money in all these separate funds. I would like to get the tri-payback fund to be included in that original calculation rather than having to figure out these transfers all the time. It's an extra step, and I don't think it's needed.
Yeah, I'm supportive of that goal. I think that cleans it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Very good. Thank you. That's all I have.
All right. I don't have any questions for Jennifer. With that said, Vice Chairman Mitchell, you want to entertain a motion?
Yeah. For the record, Commissioner Mitchell, I move to approve the acceptance of the 2021-2022 Story County TRI Payback Fund final budget for submission to the Department of Taxation.
I will second that motion. So there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Comptroller McCain.
Thank you.
And now we are on to item number 11, discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the letter to the Governor's Office of Economic Development recognizing the Economic Development Authority of Western Nevada, also known as EDON, as one of the two regional economic development authorities representing Story County. Austin, you have the floor, and Mike is back.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sorry, I got ahead of myself on the last agenda item. So at this point, I know we have a request to us from EDON to continue being our Economic Development Authority, as well as a Northern Nevada Development Authority that covers the south end of Story County. EDON covers the north end of Story County, particularly the I-80 corridor and Tri-Center. So Mike Kazmierski, the director of EDON, is with us. He has a presentation he'd like to give to you. Commissioner Mitchell and I did have a meeting with Mike and talked with him about some questions this board might have for him on what EDON does for Story County in economic development, economic retention and workforce development, and bringing companies into Story County. I know Mike has a presentation ready to discuss those things, and any questions come afterward.
Great. Welcome, Mike.
Did you want me to share a screen now?
Please, you have the floor.
Okay, let me do that. Okay. You got it?
Look, looks perfect.
Okay, well just say I want to thank the entire team at Story County for all their work with EDON. It's been a great partnership over the last almost 10 years now that we've been working together. And I think most would agree the region has changed dramatically from an economic development perspective, in part because we work well together as a region. So I want to thank you for that. I'm going to go through and give a kind of a quick update. You're probably aware of some of this information. If I'm going too fast, please slow me down, but I know time is always a premium for you. Let me start first by reminding everyone we are a nonprofit. That is a big part of our success as a region is we get public and private funding. The majority of our funding, 80%, comes from the private sector. The remainder from the public sector, but a very important piece. And we are the only community board in the region. When I say community, we have all five local government entities represented. We have the four higher education entities represented here in the metro area. And we have obviously the business community well represented. Our region of responsibility with the state is pretty much the metro area out to Furley. The combined statistical area, which obviously includes the portion of Story County that has the industrial center in it. The focus is to grow the economy in this region. We are not a county or a city organization. We are a regional organization, and as such, we support all five government entities as part of that region. You've seen this chart before. It's pretty simple. It's our strategic plan and a chart, attracting great companies, helping startups grow, retain the companies we have and help them expand, community development and workforce development. Workforce development now is more important than any of the other legs, if you can believe that, because companies will not come here and cannot succeed if we don't have quality, educated workforce for them when they come here or if they're looking at an expansion. This is a great comparison between Vegas and Reno's economy and the Reno Sparks region. If you look at where we were in this area, we were basically identical to the Vegas area over the years prior to what was really our effort to bring in advanced manufacturing in this region. At this point, we had landed 40 manufacturing companies to include Tesla starting in the 15 range, and that number started to separate. After that, the Tesla success with Apple, some of the data centers, you can see where our trend as a region started to separate, where our unemployment rates started to get lower and lower than Vegas. And our first real test of our economy was the pandemic. And when the pandemic hit, you can see what happened to Vegas. Here, obviously, the governor shut down the state for 2 months, so you would expect a spike. But look at how quickly we got back to what is fairly normal. We're at in the fours now as a regional, Story County at 5 right now in unemployment. And you can see Vegas is still just finally got below double digits and is not really improving nearly as quickly. So that shows you the economy we have here is fairly resilient. And because of that, a lot of good things are happening. One of the best metrics for an economy is the combined sales use tax. This is a good measurement of how the economy is working. If people are going and doing things and paying taxes, it's a good thing. You can see the 2 month shutdown here. And then after that, this is really focused on put Washoe County here versus what is Vegas. Pretty dramatic difference. In fact, Vegas just finally touched positive. And we've been positive since last June. And I put Story County in here. It's been pretty erratic throughout. You can see the big ups and downs, but still 20% last whatever month this last reported month was, March, I believe, over 20% positive and certainly trending in the right direction. So all of that talks to an economy that is hopping. If you look at some of the technology companies, all new, did not exist here 6-7 years ago. About half of them, the big boys in Story County, and our priorities going ahead continue to be high-paying jobs, corporate headquarters, manufacturing and technology. We're working on entrepreneurial growth and prospect activity, especially from the Bay Area. Blockchain is a big part of where we're going. Obviously, that is a huge player going forward. We see blockchain as an opportunity in this region to brand Nevada and the region as a leader in the technology. Clearly, Blockchain Inc. is a part of that, but we have several other blockchain companies now we've attracted to the region, and we want to kind of grow that cluster. This is just shows you how we're doing as an organization from prospect perspective. Prospects are very important to us. If we can get a prospect to visit, the majority of time we get them to land here. With the limitation on corporate travel, you can see we're last... You know, the last year we're down on our goal 8 to 10 per year, per month. We're averaging about 4.7, but the numbers are popping back up now. And even at 4.7, we're getting a lot more serious interest. So our prospect activity continues to be strong. Our jobs number, our target for the year was just about 2,500, and we expect to exceed that. So that's a good news story for what we're doing. And what's important here is the average wages are higher than ever. We had good numbers last year, but you can see we're on target for this year for our goal of 65,000, just over that now. And even just a few years ago, we were bringing them in at 36,000. So that's a pretty big jump in average wages, which is really good considering housing prices are going up. On the pending announcement side, clearly these companies, you see manufacturing continues to be a strength of our region. I was just on the call with the state, and manufacturing is now a state priority. It's always been a priority for us. Vegas finally figured out it would probably be a good thing to do more of that. We're seeing more and more continued growth in manufacturing, logistics, distribution, e-commerce, back office, and then technology, some technology companies here as well, with a push towards biotech, which we think we have a lot of opportunity in. And then here's some of the hot prospects that we're working, about 130 right now active prospects we're working with that are getting close to making a decision. In fact, we have one prospect that is looking at Story County now, 200 to 400 jobs, nanotech manufacturing, and the land they're looking at is part of the Milken property there, just in the center of the business park. So even though most of the land is tied up in the park, we are showing land and seeing prospect activity there. In fact, some of the projects that landed recently, you should be aware of, obviously the data center at Google was a big deal. We worked aggressively, as I'm sure you did, to help the governor come around on the abatements concern. And then some of the others here, again, manufacturing is a big part of that. Very different than what the business park was 10 years ago. It was primarily big box and logistics distribution. If we look back over the last several years, 35 projects of ours did land in Story County. This is a chart from Brian Bonifant. He ran some numbers here to show wage trends in Story County, and you can see where we were here 10 years ago and how the wage trends and the average employment wages have gone up pretty dramatically, and that really is part of the regional growth. So that's the attraction side, and we're pretty excited. We expect that to continue at a robust pace going forward. The retention expansion is just as important for us. If you have a company here, you want to help them succeed. Nancy McCormick and her team are in the business park almost weekly and sometimes twice a week, not just visiting with companies, but working on some of their issues, including some of the transportation problems, some of the workforce problems, transportation of work out there, things that we do with a lot of the companies in order to help them be successful out there. On the workforce side, we have our program really works with the players, connecting them, helping them be more effective with a focus on what do the employers need now and in the future. On the education pipeline, we're aggressively working with the school district. We have upskilling programs to get workers and unemployed workers or people who have lost their job the skills they need to fill some of these manufacturing job positions, and then attracting talent to the region where we don't have it here now. We identify some of the talent needs. Here are where our greatest needs are in the region. Some of these may not be a surprise, but software developer, because of our growth in technology, is clearly a shortcoming here. Nurses, obviously, in the medical arena. Teachers, we're seeing more of that. Engineers, obviously, you have a bunch of them out there. We have more coming. So the STEM or STEAM occupations are really where we're putting a lot of emphasis. We have several upskilling initiatives, and we work with a lot of our partners to help. How do we embed or get people the skills they need to fill the jobs we know are here or coming? And then robotics. Robotics is a great symbol for the jobs, skills we need going forward. So we've partnered with FIRST and the university here to actually set up a robotics testing lab or a robotics facility that will be regional and lead the effort to help kids understand robotics and then do robotics competitions. And so that is part of our effort to try and accelerate robotics in our school district throughout the region, because robotics is really the great symbol for the skills we need. It teaches team building, it teaches coding, it teaches some of the mechanical skills. And so that part is a symbol that we really want to push. Robotics is an area we are behind as a region when it comes to helping our kids understand skills of the future. And then startup attraction, we are aggressively working to grow our ecosystem here so that we don't have to drag quite as many companies in. They come, they grow here, and really growing companies is a little bit easier than dragging them in. So this process of helping startups grow, we have tech attraction. We take a company that's really small and trying to get them to come here, get them to grow here and expand here. Once they get here, they like it here and they usually stay here. And then investment, we set up a Reno seed fund. We've invested in about 35 companies to date. Many of those have expanded and grown beyond the investment. Some of them are here listed. We have others that are in the queue now to be invested in. And in fact, that Reno seed fund was recently recognized nationally as the most active fund in Nevada. So we're pretty excited. We've gotten involved as an organization. We've gotten the right people at the table in order to help fund some of the startups so that they could grow here. And it's just some of the wins. I mentioned the wins in the companies. It's interesting. We brought a single person in here from Bombora 5 years ago. They're now at 60 engineers. So it shows you the growth, the rapid growth of some of these smaller companies. I'll close with just saying that certainly the region is changing. We're different than where we were 10 years. We're on a track to become an innovation mecca. Depending on what happens, obviously, with the blockchain and their initiative, we see continued growth in a lot of areas, including technology. And I would just turn it over to any questions you might have at this time.
Thank you, Mike. Is there any public comment regarding that presentation or this agenda item? Not seeing any public comment. Commissioner Gilman or Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have any questions for Mike?
Mike, Lance Gilman here. I'm curious on your take on this AB 90 and the potential impacts on the positive or negative side. And do you believe that if AB 90 is implemented, that will dramatically slow down the relocation process with major companies?
I'm not aware of AB 90's details. Is that, which one is that?
Well, that's the bill that will require various counties to sign on to neighboring counties to discuss, evaluate, and do studies.
Yes.
To evaluate how much each county is going to have to dedicate to the support of a locating company. And it just concerns me. I know that so many of the companies that we relocated there to Story County did not want to divulge their identities, certainly Google being a major one and others. And it seems to me AB 90 is not only require that they divulge who they are and what they're going to do, which is going to impact them back at home, but also create an interesting delay so that we can't really ensure there won't be scheduling risk as the various communities come together on the sharing that has to be resolved prior to the company knowing if they can relocate or not.
Yeah, we have not taken a formal position on that, but our position has been if it isn't broke, don't fix it. We happen to think the current system is not broke. There are people that look at a part of the economy and say one part of the region is getting a benefit, but they're also, and we're getting a disadvantage, and they fail to look at all the advantages that they may be getting through other forms of sales tax revenue. So our position is, what's going on now in this region is working pretty well. And so we have not had a public voice on AB 90, but our position has been this is something that the less government, the better, if you will. I think there is, before we do anything, it would require a fairly extensive study. And I'm not sure we probably wouldn't want to do a study anyhow. I think we've talked about that in order to help people understand just how significant an impact a company that lands in Story County, for example, has on a community in Sparks, where they may have 100 new residents or 200 new residents that are buying cars and going to restaurants and doing everything else because this company that's in Story County is paying them. So our position has been not supporting getting too far down the road of trying to figure this one out until we've done certainly a whole lot of work on the analysis, and that is a pretty much a moving target.
Well, thank you for that.
Thank you, Lance. Vice Chairman Mitchell, you have any questions for Mike?
I was just going to say thanks, Mike, for giving us that update. It's helpful to kind of see where the target is, where the picture is. One of the things that when we met, if you can just touch briefly on it, you mentioned something that really kind of opened my eyes or gave me a new perspective, and it had to do with with Story County, specifically TRI, being ideally suited for larger acreage projects and disadvantaged for smaller acreage projects. And that just kind of gave me a new frame of reference. Would you take just a short moment on that?
Sure, Commissioner Mitchell. The business park is a great place for companies that are coming here that need, 500,000 acres. Certainly before blockchain sucked up a lot of the land, it was much easier. But even now, some of the projects we're looking at are still, even a modest manufacturing company needs 100 acres. So there is very little land in the region anymore that accommodates that isn't in the business park or outside of the metro area. And if you're looking for 20s and 50s, and I know you do have some land, some parcels there that we're aware of that we do show that are in the, 200, 300 acre range. But when you start getting the bigger projects, and obviously, Tesla and others, you're talking thousands of acres. And there's just not a lot of places that have resources, the infrastructure necessary to get a project like that. So we continue to look to the business park. We'll see what Blockchains Inc. does as they continue to grow. We've actually encouraged them to identify land they won't need for their Change the World project that we could probably use for other projects now or in the near future. They are looking at those options going forward. It may be something that we continue to work with them together on, because that land is really valuable. We don't have enough land in this region right now. We're trying to work the lands bill. Thank you for your support of that lands bill. It will help us continue to grow this region. And I think at the same time, there are parcels still in the business park that we look at and we try to find. But let's face it, it's not what it used to be.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, Mike, I might sign on, if I may, just a moment on that. We currently have 11 new escrows open. And of the 11 escrows, two of them are approximately 100 acres. But everything else is between 5 and 35 acres. So we're seeing a tremendous inflow right now of users that are of the smaller nature. And the park is starting to develop those kinds of sites. So I think it would be important for EDON to recognize that is developing now. It's somewhat new business, but we have a lot of smaller companies looking at us right now.
Yeah, and we do know there are some. Our prospects usually, they'll require much more. The manufacturing, the manufacturers we're working with, and many, I'm sure, of those parcels are retail or some of the build out of the business park that help the business park be more employee friendly. We expect that will help us in the long run, but we are looking for probably 200 to 400 on average acres, and there are not a lot of those parcels left at the business park. And that's in part why we went working with Milken. It was helpful for us to get some land out there to look at this larger nanotech manufacturer. So there may be partnerships we can work with. We do know what's available there. And, the culling process is pretty simple. This, Lance, better than anyone. The company comes in and says, I need 300 acres. So we go through the sorting list of the region. And anywhere we can find that, we lay that out to them and say, okay, here are the list. Here's the ones with infrastructure. Here, we kind of give them what they want to see. And then they tell us, okay, let's look at these three. Let's look at these five.
Thank you for that.
Yeah. Anyway, and Lance, my fellow commissioners, I think there's some good kind of guidance for us on what type of companies Mike is seeing, and then that helps us know kind of where we can fill the gap. And one of the things that's been on my mind is making sure, maybe getting a more formalized inventory of potentially current owners out there that would be open to reselling. And Lance, you probably know that off the top of your head, but having that available and making that available to Mike then just allows him to put those in front of people a little more. So anyway, good conversation for sure.
You know, Mike, my fellow commissioners touched on what I wanted to bring up with you, so I don't have any questions at this moment. The public had no comment, and if my fellow commissioners don't have anything, I guess at this point we will see if Vice Chairman Mitchell wants to entertain a motion.
I'm happy to make a motion. Austin, did you have anything you wanted to add?
Sure, Commissioner Mitchell. Austin Osborne for the record, county manager. So I agree with what you mentioned as far as keeping the inventory of the properties. We have some resources going into our planning department as well as community development from our final budget, and that we're going to be able to do that. We're going to look at every property out at McCarran and otherwise in the county that's zoned industrial, commercial, or otherwise, and we're going to look at the ownership, see what marketing firms are out there pushing those properties, and be able to work internally and start building a little bit of infrastructure inside on helping some of these properties move forward, especially the small ones or ones that are located in obscure areas in the county. And then we also talked with Mike about providing him and others that list and keeping it updated so that he's also aware of changes that might be occurring that his group may not be aware of. So we do have budgetary resources available now after July, and we'll get on that. So otherwise, I don't have any other comments. I appreciate, Mike, you taking the time with me and Commissioner Mitchell to discuss these matters as well as coming to the meeting today. There is a motion in front of you essentially to authorize approval of the letter if you so desire to proceed forward with EDON for the north end of the county.
Chair, if it's all right, I'll make that motion. For the record, Commissioner Mitchell, I move to approve the letter to the Governor's Office of Economic Development, GOED, recognizing the Economic Development Authority of Western Nevada, or EDON, as one of the two regional economic development authorities representing Story County.
I'll give you a second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Mike, for that presentation and taking the time out to be with us today.
Well, thank you for your support. And if while you're doing the land inventory, if you can twist Jeff Burns' arm a little bit and get him to free up some of that land, that would help as well. So, again, thank you for your time and look forward to another great year ahead and your partnership. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you. So there was rumor of a break. We're about to recess as the Story County Water and Sewer Board. Do my fellow commissioners want to take a break before we jump into the budget portion of this agenda, or do you want to just dive in?
I can go either way.
Commissioner Gilman?
He's already on his break.
I'd take a short break. Jay, I'd take a short break. Excuse me, I was on mute.
All right, no problem. So let's take a 10-minute break, and we will reconvene at 11:50.